We're at the Crop Insurance Workshop in Grand Island, Nebraska today, and we have the opportunity to visit with Art Barnaby. Art is professor and extension ag economist at Kansas State University. And Art, you're going to be speaking here shortly on drought politics and risk management policy. Quite a combination there.
Well, we're going to talk about the standard reinsurance agreement to try to address the question of how much of this loss will be paid by private insurance companies, which is the question I'm getting right now. The short answer is a pretty complicated agreement between the federal government and the private insurers, and we're going to try to simplify that, but it certainly influences the outcome. The other topic that we're going to address is the situation in Indiana and Iowa, where without the harvest price option, most of those farmers in Iowa particularly would not have been paid. Being very pragmatic, had they not collected crop insurance payments, and that would not have happened if without that harvest price, I think we would have had an ad hoc disaster program this year. But because they did get paid, there was no push to do that. So those are two kind of fundamental policy questions that are running around right now.
Why just Indiana and Iowa? Why were they those situations?
Well, first of all, that's where particularly Indiana has been hard hit by the drought, much more so than even Nebraska or Kansas. I mean, we obviously have had some dry weather here, but losses are probably going to be higher or at least below their normal yield in Indiana. Kentucky was also hard hit with the drought, and it was less true as you went west. If you go to Minnesota, actually the yield was very good there, which is the best of all possible worlds, a good yield and a good price.
Mm-hmm. But this crop insurance payout this year, it's going to be major.
Not as big as the estimates.
Really?
It's shrinking as we talk. And because of the way the standard reinsurance agreement works, more of the savings is going to go over to the federal side than to the private insurance company side. And that's because the losses are probably not going to be quite as severe as my earlier estimates in Indiana in particular, and also in Iowa. What goes on there is the first chunk of the loss, the bigger share of that loss is paid by the insurance companies. It's only when the loss becomes really severe does it flip and FCIC pay more of the loss. So as the losses come down, particularly they get below a 220 loss ratio, the cost shifts over to the private companies and less to the federal government. So because these soybean yields were better than expected, it helps offset some of the corn losses. And as a direct result of that, as that loss ratio declines, most of the savings is actually ending up on the federal side compared to what it would have been had those yields been as bad as we thought, 60 days ago. That rain we got towards the end of August there really did help the soybeans, and yields were higher than expected, and the market reflects that.
So what are you estimating the total payout will be?
Well, I haven't really changed my estimate from $15 billion, but again, remember, people were forecasting $30 to $40 billion, so my $15 sounded really low. If you put a gun to my head and said, what's the number today, I'm guessing we're probably going to come under $10 billion now. I've seen numbers, estimates much lower than that. I'm not sure I'm really ready to buy into those. I think they may be as much of an outlier as the $40 billion numbers that were thrown out early. Mm. But I certainly think under $10 billion is in the ballpark.
Yeah, because I was going to say some recent numbers we've been seeing from different sources were 25.
No, I will be shocked if it's anything above my $15 billion estimate. I think my $15 is too high.
Okay. All right. So, and that's, again, I mean, just a result of better crops
better,
than expected?
Better than expected soybean yields primarily. And I'm hearing the corn yields are probably a little better than some of the folks thought too, but especially the soybean yields. Better than expected, and we've had a pretty good size price drop since August in both corn and soybeans. And we just finished the measurement. Well, it finishes today, the price measurement period. So those lower prices also lowered the amount of money paid in claims.
So as we mentioned the title of your speech, politics part of the mix there. How does that figure into all this maybe going forward?
I'm not sure I know the answer to that. There is a lot of writing that I'm running across from various critics of crop insurance that want to either eliminate the harvest price or to eliminate the subsidy on the harvest price. Both have basically the same result. The removal of that harvest price simply would have been in a position that with markets go up, your yield deductible increases. Rather than needing a 25% yield loss to trigger payments, you need a 50% yield loss to trigger payments. And that was my point. In Iowa, those corn yields are not zero like we can get in Kansas. They're basically got a half a crop this year. And so with these price increases, if without that harvest price, there'd been no claims paid in Iowa. I mean, fewer claims. And if we'd had a lot of farmers not getting crop insurance checks this year, I have no doubt that they would have complained to their political leaders. And Iowa, of course, is an important state when it comes to the presidential election. Now, Kansas, you know, nobody really cares. Same thing with Illinois, for that matter. Illinois will undoubtedly end up in the Democratic side. So it's only if the state's in play do these things matter, and Iowa is in play. So that's why I'm saying that because their yield losses weren't as bad as Indiana, Indiana will go Republican too, because their yield losses weren't as bad as Indiana and some other places, that put them in the position where it's primarily Iowa farmers who would not have been paid with this year's disaster had they not had that harvest price. And that harvest price is what's been under attack, along with the cost. And then there's been other things like we want to put limits on initially the amount of subsidy that farmers could get through crop insurance, although that's a misnomer. In the case of Minnesota corn growers, they've effectively netted none of the subsidy in the last 25 years. What I'm saying is their farmer-paid premiums have exceeded all their claims, which is real eye-opening the first time people see that. So what they really got was lower premiums. They're still writing checks, though. That wasn't the money wasn't coming their direction. It's all going the other direction. So because of these things that are under various attacks, which may not fully understand what they're talking about, but nonetheless, anything that costs money is getting scrutinized these days, and the harvest price costs money. Well, I just defined that because I just said Iowa farmers were collecting indemnity payments. Without the harvest price, they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Well, that saves money, but does that result in no additional funds being spent somewhere else, such as an ad hoc disaster program? Mm-hmm. And I guess whatever you want to assume on that one, I'm being very pragmatic, I think we would have had an ad hoc disaster program.
If I could kind of summarize, again, you're saying the total payout's not going to be nearly as high as a lot of the estimates we've heard out there, and maybe even lower than what you were estimating.
I'm fairly comfortable I'm too high. I haven't gone to the effort of actually trying to replace it out on the web because I figured I put my guess out there. I'm just going to leave it at that. But I do fully expect the final number to be below my estimate. Some of that will be paid by insurance companies. The other thing you have to remember, this is, we're treating this like it's a one-year deal. Think about the guys in Indiana, for example, or Iowa. They may have been paying premiums for the last 10 years and collected nothing. Well, you really ought to look at what does this cost on average over a period of years rather than looking at a single year. Prior to coming into this year, FCIC had a $3.5 billion net underwriting gain. Most people don't realize that the government can actually make money when the crops are good. But it's like Social Security. It doesn't get held in reserve for future payouts. It just goes back to the Treasury. So kind of hard to follow the money. But nonetheless, on the farmer side, if you've been paying premiums for 10 years, why are you upset now that I collect? And you really shouldn't be, but nonetheless, that's what's going on.
So is the crop insurance industry in good shape? I mean, are they going to make it through this okay and going forward?
Well, one of the other things that's happened is the consolidation of the crop insurance industry. We've got, probably the three or four largest companies probably have 75-80% of the whole thing. And these are not small companies. ACE, for example, is a worldwide reinsurer. They bought Rain and Hail out recently. QBE is an Australian-based company. They bought out NAU and American Agri-Assurance. a few years back, Wells Fargo bought out RCIS, which is the largest writer. And of course, they're a large banking company, and crop insurance is a small part of their portfolio. Great American is also a very large company. The point being is that crop insurance is still a small percentage of these companies' total businesses. So no real chance that they're not going to be able to make their financial commitments. And even the smaller companies, what they do is they go to these big world reinsurers like Munich Re, et cetera. So they're buying reinsurance from them to make sure that they can cover their losses. So, no, I don't see that this is going to actually bankrupt any of the insurance companies. And even if it did, what I tell farmers, don't worry about that. You're still going to get paid. The problem is it will delay the payment some. FCIC or RMA will come in and actually make the payments, but, you know, it's got government involvement, so that's going to slow things down.